I want to talk to you about a encounter I had this morning. I want to share something we just recently taught into, but he changed a lot of things. Go to Ephesians 5 for a minute, share something with you, and then we're going to be in John 6. So Ephesians 5, we've been talking about the Alpha, the Omega, dwelling in him that was, him that is, and he that is to come. Moses dwelt in him that was, wrote the book of Genesis. 2,500 years after the book of Genesis, he wrote it. I mean, he had to be with God walking through all of those accounts to see it all. John dwelt in him that is to come 2,000 years after his time. God is not limited to time, space, or gravity. Amen. We're the only ones that limit that. The Lord was never limited to that. But he spoke something to me very strongly this morning. Verse 8, Ephesians 5, he says, "For you were sometimes in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Sometimes we see that in many different ways, but he's called us out of darkness, say out of darkness, into the marvelous light. And look at verse 13, he says, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light." Verse 15, "So then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." Say, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. And when God spoke to me this morning when I woke up, he said, "I want to redeem the time." Say, redeem the time. Now, we all have a different revelation of what that actually means. Amen? But he gave me a whole new revelation on top of one we've already taught. So I want you to go to John 6, and I want to share something he shared with me today. This is right after he'd multiplied the bread and loaves. And now he's going to send his disciples. He's going to put them in a ship, and he's going to send them the other side of the sea. But he doesn't go with them. He actually goes up into the mountain to pray. Amen? So he's praying all night while they're rowing all night. So he puts them in the ship right at dusk, right at twilight when it's moving into night. He puts them in the ship and he sends them out into the night. But he does not go with them. He goes up into the mountain to be with the Father. Amen? Now, as he's praying, he's watching everything from the mountain. We'll see that in a second. But I want you to see in John 6 here, very powerful. And so, verse 15 of John 6, he said, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would take him by force and make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." You should read how many times he actually departed and prayed all night. He did that quite often. In fact, before his greatest revivals, you'll always see him in a position with the Father praying before he downloads that revival to humanity. He said, "Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king. He departed again into a mountain. And when evening was come, his disciples went down to the sea and entered into a ship and went over toward the Sea of Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus had not come to them." And verse 18, the first thing that happens, as soon as the Lord puts them in the ship, to sends them the other side. Now, something pretty great's going to happen on the other side when they finally get over there. It's a very long night's journey before that revival hits. There is a massive revival hits the beginning of that day. That morning break, they start a revival that goes on all the day long. Very powerful. Somehow the enemy knows when God is in a directive, in a mode of directive, and he's moving a people towards something, he's going to send a resistance against it. And so it was now dark. The sea arose. Say, the sea arose by reason of a great wind and blew. And this was a very strong storm that was sent against them. So much so, the sea is about 6 to 7 miles wide from beginning to end. And it said they had rowed, say they rowed about 25 to 30 furlongs. That's about 3.5 miles. Now they start rowing about 8 o'clock in the morning. Their midway point is when he meets them. He comes off the mountain and he's walking on the sea about midway point. So they rode about 3.5 miles. So he's meeting them in the fourth watch of the night, which is around 3 to 6 in the morning. He's meeting them. So they've been rowing for a good 8 hours. Say 8 hours. That's a lot of rowing right there. And he meets them in midway point. Now, I have something very interesting about that, because I looked up what's the average time to row 1 mile. And so the average time to row, because they had rowed about 3 to 3.5 miles, what's the average time to row 3 miles? I'm not talking about the professional rowers. I'm talking about just me and you getting in a little boat and rowing. Amen? They said about 1 hour to 1.5 hours you can row 3 miles. Amen? They've been rowing 8 hours, which would have taken about 1 to 1.5 hours. They've been at it for 8 hours. That's the kind of storm that was against them. So you're thinking they're in the ship. As soon as they get in the ship, they know the Lord put you in the ship. You know, the Lord sent you. You know, the Lord's with you. He says go to the other side. He's the one that puts you in the ship. He's the one that put us in this ship. We're in a ship if you don't believe it. We're just more than 12 disciples. But he put us in this ship. He said, go to the other side. There's some revival over there. And you think because he put us in the ship, it's going to be easy. The first thing they do is encounter the storms. Amen? A big storm. Now, they do like we do, because I can imagine what I saw them as I meditate them on the seas. They're probably already, by hour one, they're already ready to hold a conference here. Right? And so they're going to hold a conference and say, well, okay, we must have done something wrong. Otherwise, we wouldn't be encountering this. I haven't even encountered any storm lately. I'm telling you, since I got that massive breakthrough about 2 weeks ago, there has been all kinds of stuff happen, very unusual things. And I'm like, God, am I ever going to get out of this? And I'm out, I'm up, I'm down, I'm up, I'm down. I'm like, this is so many supernatural things, good, bad, ugly, is happening. You can say amen. So they're in the middle of a storm. And so they're probably, first thing you're going to do, let's hold a repentance service. Something is wrong. We need to have a repentance conference right here on the high seas. Because that's what we do. Something obviously is wrong. I mean, we should have already been to the other side by now. We certainly shouldn't be in all this resistance, especially if the Lord sent us there. He's not having any problems. He's on the mountain with the Father. There's nothing wrong with what's going on with him. He's way up there in the mountain. He's in fellowship. And actually, it says in Mark 6, he says he watched them from the mountain. He was watching the whole thing. So, number one, whatever you go and do, God's watching. He's watching. Say, he's watching. There is a point that God is going to intervene. Amen? There is a point that the Lord is going to intervene. He intervened with these guys about midway point. So the second conference they're going to have, so the first conference is repentance. The next one, okay, we've already repented. Now we have to have a unity conference. Amen? This storm wouldn't be here if we weren't in unity. Somebody is in strife in this boat. Somebody's got some unforgiveness. Somebody's got some strife. Some carrying offense. Because this storm would have ceased by now if one of you would have not been in strife. Right? So they do that, and after that conference, they're still in the storm. All right, we're going to call a prophetic conference. Somebody needs to get up here and see what's going on, because we're in the middle of a storm and we can't see. So they have to do all their conferences, and after they're all worn out, see, God is going to allow you to row a little bit. Amen? Because he got to get certain things out of you. Amen? So you can imagine disciples on that boat. I talked about this when I taught this before. Row harder. Row harder, boys. Row on. So here's some of the prayers we pray, because the Lord just changed my prayer. Amen? But here's some of the prayers we've been praying on the high seas. All right? Prayer number one. Lord, grant me grace to endure the storm that I'm in. Amen? That's prayer number one. Have you ever prayed in the middle of the day, Lord, grant me grace to get through this? Prayer number two, in the midst of the storm. Oh, you're going to love the Lord's Prayer. Man, he is thinking on a whole nother dimension right now, my friends. I'm telling you, the Lord is thinking on a whole nother level than we are. Prayer number two, Lord, grant me strength to row on. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, press on. Row on, boys, row on. Just keep doing what you're doing. Nope. It's not working. Say, row on. You'll finally get there, but by the time you get there, the time the revival starts, you're toast. Say, you're worn out. You're expended. Spent. Exhausted. That revival starts early in the morning as soon as they get out of the ship. The people recognized him and they ran about the city and woke everybody up and began a revival. Now imagine the Lord had not intervened by the time they got there the next day at the rate they were going, they're going to get there in the afternoon of the next day. The revival would already been halfway through by the time they arrived. God has a solution for all this. Prayer number three. Lord, help me. Say, help me. Help me. Walk by faith. Must be your faith. Must be your faith. The problem is faith here. Prayer number four. There is no prayer number four. We've already prayed our prayers. We're all done. Amen. So now they're midway. They're 3.5 miles into a 7-mile journey. That should have lasted at the most 3 hours. Should have got into that boat at 7 or 8, gotten at shore 10, 11, gotten a hotel room, a suite. And they should have all slept the night and had the revival in the morning. But that didn't happen. Say it didn't happen. One good news about all of this is God is never intimidated by anything that's going on around us. We might, but he's not. Amen? Because he has a different viewpoint. And that's what I want you to see. And that's what he wanted me to see this morning. So go to Mark 6 now. Let's look at this. A little deeper. Because he's going to change the way you pray. And in order to change the way we pray, he has to change our perspective. Amen? We have to see things the way he sees it. Amen? He's beginning to open the realm of Alpha Omega. Amen? God is beginning. God is he that is. He is to come. He is that was, and he is to come. He's not limited to what we limit him to. Amen? But we have to get an enlargement of who he is and what he can do for us. Amen? All right. So Mark 6, same story. Verse 46, I actually had spent like 3 hours with a whole nother message, and he changed it right back into this again. It's awesome, though. So Mark 6, verse 46, he said, and when he had sent them away, he departed unto a mountain to pray. Now, pay attention very close. Verse 47, and when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, he alone on the land. Where was he? In a mountain. Where were they? 3.5 miles in the midst of a storm. He didn't have binoculars. He was watching, though, and he said he saw them toiling and rowing. He was watching with the Father the whole thing from the mountain. He wasn't seeing them with these eyes. He was seeing them with the eyes of the Father. Amen? Where was he? He's in the Father. Where were they? They're in the storm. Amazing how he kind of missed that storm. But he sent them right in the middle of it. Amen? So watch this. Now he sees them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of night, about 3 or 4 in the morning, they've been at it. He watched for 8 hours before he intervened. Amen? And this is Mark 6, verse 48. About the fourth watch of night, in him walking on the sea, he would have passed by them. Say, he would have passed by them. Say it again. He would have passed by them. The Lord asked me a question when I first woke up this morning. He said, who would have got there first? If they would not have recognized me out there, I would have walked right past them. You know, sometimes the Spirit of God will walk right past you. If you're not in tune with the Spirit of God, remember the road of Emmaus, they didn't even know they were talking to him. They didn't even know. See, they didn't even know they were talking to him. They would have passed by. Say, passed by. But Peter recognized him. They thought it was a ghost. They thought it was a spirit out there. Now the Lord said, who would have got there first? Me or them? I'm like, wait a minute. You sent them at dusk, the twilight hour. You went up to pray with the Father. They spent all night rowing, and you would have gotten there before them. That is a huge mystery right there. What is that saying? You're going to arrive to your destination a lot faster if you're spending time with the Father than you are rowing. Working harder. Row on. In other words, when you begin to access the grace of God, you're going to get to where God's calling you to be much faster than if you are operating in the works. Amen? Notice the system they were in. Works. Where was the Lord? Grace. Isn't it amazing that he could spend all night with the Father and get there? Even with a sea and a storm, it never affected him. He walked right through it. I don't even know if he got wet. You know, this whole course out there, this is when Peter sees him and said, bid me to come out there. There's 4-foot waves going on. They're so enthralled with him being out there. Peter goes, if Peter wouldn't have done that, he'd walk right past them. Because when a revival comes, when it comes to the destination of God, God's either going to catch us up or pass us by. But God's going to have his way. Now, sometimes God has us walking, sitting, 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 sitting. Nothing's happening, and then suddenly God walks right past us. If we don't catch that suddenly, and we don't connect with it, we're going to be left out in the sea or the wilderness, and God's going to move on. Amen? That's what it comes to being attentive, being sensitive, seeing him. Everyone stop right now, put your hand over your heart, say, Father, please don't pass us by. Don't pass us by. Help us, Lord. Now listen, that storm could have been a result of anything. When we're in the storms of life, it can be a result of just the enemy alone. It can be a result of our own works, our own toil, our own labor, what we've been talking about. It can be a result of our sin. It can be a result of a lot of different things. But the fact that storm is there, but grace is walking by. Say, grace is walking by. And when grace walks by, grace is not taking account of anything. Grace, it's on its way to a destination. And when you can join into grace, it has nothing to do with you anymore. Has it everything to do with him if we can tap in? Say, tap in. Tap in. Grace ended up getting in their boat. And when grace showed up in their boat, the storm stopped immediately. Say, stopped. No more storm. No more tolling. As soon as grace showed up, because grace is never conditioned in a storm. Grace can walk right through a storm and not be affected at all. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that glorious? Now watch this. Now there's a revival on the other side. God has a timing. And he knows how to get us caught up. Sometimes when we're looking at things, we've been at this for 20 years and we're halfway there. We'd have been at this for 30 years and we're halfway there. God can redeem the time. Look at your neighbor, say, redeem. Redeem the time. Say, redeem the time. Redeem the time. He would have passed by them. They get his attention. Peter has this thing. I mean, He's having this discourse with Peter. Peter begins to sink. Now watch this. The Lord's standing on water, but not only could he hold his weight, he could hold everybody else's weight too. He said he stretched out his hand and he pulled Peter up. And Peter and him are talking. He goes, how is it you have little faith? At this point, Peter doesn't know it. He's standing on water. The same water he walked on, the same water he was sinking into. The Lord takes his hand, lifts him up. And Peter is so enthralled with the Lord that he doesn't realize he's standing on the water. And the Lord said, how is it you had no faith? Not only the Lord could hold himself up, he could pull others. Now, when you're walking in this kind of jurisdiction with God, when you're walking in the high places with God, when you're walking in the Father, not only can you be upheld, you can uphold others. Amen? You'll be able to lift others and uphold them. Not only will you lift others, you can actually get into the boat with somebody and they can move into your anointing that they paid no price for whatsoever, and they can go where you go free. Say free. They can go where you go, when you go, how you go, and they can go free. Say, go free. That's the nature of this thing. Once you get rolling in this, you get around somebody that's rolling in it, you can go free. Amen? Hallelujah. Now watch this. So, we're in Mark 6, verse 53. And when they'd passed over, now they get to the land. All right? I just want you to see this revival. They get to the land of Gennesaret. I mean, it's breakthrough. It's future. It's your promise. Whatever that next day holds, it's your promise. I don't care if you've been on the seas for 20 years or 20 months. There is a promise on the other side of this thing. How we get to the other side is what he's wanting to show us now. Amen? He told me this morning, woke me up, because I'm going to change the way you pray now. But I need you to see this more clearly. I want you to understand what it actually means to redeem the time. And I want you to begin praying for the redemption of time by one word called grace. Say grace. So here's what's on the other side. Verse 54, and when they were come out of the ship, say come out of the ship. I mean, it's wee early in the morning now. They get there. They're there at 5, 6 in the morning, just daylight. When they come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. Immediately they knew him. They ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those who were sick, where they heard he was, and whithersoever he entered, the villages, cities, country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, as it were, the border of his garment. And as many touched him were made whole. I mean, that's promise. That's revival. That's breakthrough. That's what everybody's looking for. Amen. Everyone's looking at your neighbor and say, get me there. Maybe we are look at God. Say, God, get us there. All right. I mean, the Lord, I really want to be like him. I really do. He walks so effortlessly through the world, and the storms, nothing ever affected him. I'm like, Lord, why can't I just do what you do? Why can't I just stay where you stay? And I mean, you walk right through that storm. Not only did you walk it through, you carried them right through it. You stopped the storm. Imagine power and authority to stop storms over people's lives. Just to still it right there. Not only do you have it in your own life, but have the power to do it in others. To still the storm. You don't have any idea how long I've been at this. You don't know anything. Just be still. You're done. You're freed. Come with me. Amen. Isn't that glorious? Okay, go back to John 6 for a minute. Now he's going to change the way we pray. Every one of us in his house can pray differently. Amen. Doesn't matter what brought that storm. Don't matter if you're in the storm or of your own doing, works, shortcomings, failures. It doesn't matter if it's the enemy. It doesn't matter why the storm's there. Grace doesn't care. Write this down. Grace doesn't care why the storm is there. Who done it? Who did it? Who's responsible? Grace don't care. Grace didn't walk by the ship and said, okay, Peter, I'll let you come because you exercised some half faith. Thomas, you're probably still in unbelief, so you get to stay in the storm. He doesn't pick and choose three and leave the other nine. Judas, you're going to betray me. Might as well sink today. He didn't do that. I mean, he could have saw Judas is in the boat and said, all right, Judas, it's your time. I'm going to let you sink. It's going to save me a lot of problems in the future. If I let you sink today, there'll be no betrayal. But I need a betrayer because the scripture said, so I got to leave you. You got to go with me. Grace takes no account of where it finds you. When grace has a destination for you, it's going to get you there, providing somebody or a group of people are operating a little higher than that storm. Amen. We need to get in connection with the Lord and get a little higher than where we are. Because if we keep operating by storm mentality, we're going to be a storm mentality church. And we're not going to get where God wants us to be. You cannot get where God wants you to be on time doing things the world's way. You can write that down. You cannot get where God wants you to be on time doing it the world's way. You won't be on time. You'll be in the midst of the sea when it's time for the revival to start. You'll be out of position, out of alignment, out of where he is. Thank God. Everyone say, thank God that he is. And I can be with him as is. I can dwell with him as was. But thank God I can also be with him as is to come. I can be with him as Alpha, but I can also be with him as Omega. Amen? Now, you're John 6? All right, so verse 17, and he entered the ship, went over the sea towards Capernaum, and it was now dark. Jesus had not come to them, and the sea arose, big storm. And when they had rowed about 3.5 miles, they see Jesus walking on the sea, drawing out of the ship. And of course, Mark said he was going to walk right by them, but they caught his attention. And he said unto them, it is I, do not be afraid. Now after this Peter thing, walking on the water, and he lifts Peter out of the water and they're talking. Peter's still standing on the water while they're talking. Then it says they both get into the ship. Matthew's account said they both get in. Now that's when, in Matthew's account, the storm stopped. The storm was still going the whole time. Even when he took Peter's hand, even when he's talking to him, and then they walk and they step over, and as soon as he touches that ship, the storm stops. Everything. Now he's in their boat. Amen? Because he got in their boat, they get to move the way he moves. Amen? It also changed the way he was moving because he was walking. But God's about to do a Star Trek. He's going to put some warp drive on them. Amen? Listen, Star Trek didn't come up with warp drive. God came up with that. God is a God of warp drive. You know, beam me up, Scotty. He warped 12 backward apostles to be through time. Amen. This is all part of their training. Amen? He said, it is I, be not afraid. In verse 21, thank God he caught this one. Woo! Then they willingly received him into the ship. None of this could happen until we get him up into our ship. Amen? But something's about to happen because he's about to come up into this ship. Amen? And what does it say? Where were they? They were midway. They were 3.5 miles on a 7-mile journey. Where did he meet them? Midway. Amen? What happened? As soon as he gets in the ship, say immediately. Immediately. Now I'm... Immediately is immediately. Amen? There's just no other way to interpret immediately but immediately. That means now. The ship was at the land whither they went. As soon as he steps in, the storm stopped. They blink and they're at the land. Amen. So God starts as his Alpha. This is the Alpha section. That pole over there is the Omega. So we're making this journey. Year one. Now we hit the right hand of God. This is our year. This is our year. This is our year. This is our year. We're still looking for that pole over there. This is our year. This is our year. Here we are right now. Amen. All this time, all this revelation, all this journey, all the good, the bad, and the ugly. Amen. Say the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're here. And we need to be there. And the Lord said, how do you want to get from where you are to over there? He said, you can pray all those prayers you've been praying, or you can change the way you pray. He goes, do you want strength to endure the storm? Do you want grace to endure, strength to press on? Do you want to say this next year? This is our year? I'm like, no, I don't. Or do you want to arrive over there immediately? Say immediately. This is called redeeming the time. God stepped into their boat, came down into our jurisdiction, stepped in, and immediately passed them through time. Passed them through what they were supposed to pay the price for. They had to pay no price for whatsoever. Amen. They didn't even have to row on still waters. They didn't have to take turns. Now imagine if they had to row the rest of the way. By the time they get to the land and God's ready for the revival, they are so spent and so exhausted, there's nothing left in them. Amen? Because God had a specific time he's going to have this done. He had it all ready to go. The Lord was in the Father's time. He was going to walk straight there and be ready for it. They weren't. He was, they weren't. God has a time for us. It's called redeeming the time. We're in season, but there is this gap between where we are and where we need to be. Amen? Instead of asking God to give us some strength to continue to press on, we're going to start inviting the Lord into our boat. Amen? We're going to start inviting grace to come. He said, they willingly received grace. Father, grant me grace to redeem the time, that I pay no further price to get to the destination, except for grace to take me immediately there. To take me to where? To where he that is to come. I always wonder, how did he do that? How did he step into a material object and pass that boat through time? How did he get those 12 through time? How did he Star Trek them? That's what he did. I mean, you've seen Empire of the Lost Ark. You know how they warp drive that thing? Unless you're in Han Solo's ship and it's not working and he gets it all ready to go. No more Han Solo! It's going to work! You know him and Chewbacca, they're trying to get that thing going and they get it and all of a sudden his ship is so old as the Falcon. It never hits the warp drive. How did God warp them through like that? How did he take material boat with 12 apostles that were in training, disciples, and get them straight through time? Pass them through. Did it with Philip too. He was there with the queen, and all of a sudden he gets the Spirit of God comes on him and lifts him up, takes him to Azotus, and he starts preaching, redeeming the time. Listen, God is going to do some amazing things. When he woke me up this morning, he says, you have no idea the generation you're living in. You have no idea what I have prepared for this generation. I don't want you to think like men anymore. I won't want you to pray like men. I don't want you praying from man's perspective. I want you to pray from my perspective. I want you to pray from the perspective of grace. It's not always contingent on what you're doing. There is a time that I'll meet you. Amen? And say, now you did well, son, but let me take you the rest of the way. Amen? You did well in your rowing, but let me get up into your ship and get you where you need to be. Let me redeem the time. So what is the prayer? Father, redeem the time freely. Father, get me caught up to where we need to be. Father, redeem the time that's not conditioned on me. If God conditioned this thing on us, we'd be in trouble. No matter how good we are at what we do. Amen. There's a time that grace overrides all of it. Ever say, thank God for the grace that showed up and overrides it. Otherwise, we're going to have to keep rowing. Anybody want to row for the next 20 years? Or would you just like to move freely with the Spirit of God to catch us up, boat and all? Amen. Catch us up, move us to our destination, to be positioned for outpouring, to be positioned. How did you do that? He said, son, I was dwelling with the Father all night. I wasn't dwelling with him just that is. I was dwelling with him that is to come. I already knew where we were going. I was on my way there, and I would have walked right past them. But since they invited me in the ship, they got grace. They got my anointing up into their ship. And when they got my anointing in their ship, I was able to move them through instead of wait for them on the other side. Is God going to move out in front of you and we're going to be behind, or are we going to get caught up? Amen. Father, grant me the grace to redeem time now, to dwell. How did he do it? He was dwelling with him that is to come. He was already there. You see that? He'd been in with the Father all night from this position. He was already standing in the position. That's why he could freely move through. That's how God's going to get us through. The revelation of him who is to come. The revelation of the Omega. Jesus said, I am Alpha, but I'm also Omega. I know how to get you where you need to be. It's not always contingent on you. Listen to me, youth. It's not just contingent on what you do all your life. God will intervene. At times you won't even know he'll intervene. How many times have you had God intervene? And the Spirit of God, I felt the stirrings of the Spirit of God this morning. When I woke, he said, I am going to redeem the time. Say, redeem the time. The suddenlies of God does not take an account of where we are. The suddenly of God positions us. I'm like, God, ow! He said, grace! Everyone say, grace! Father, grant us. Everyone stand right now, Father. Put your hand over your heart. These are the days of the supernatural. These are the days of the operation of the seven spirits of God. These are the days where God will move us where we could not go. Father, even with all that we presently know and been taught and trained, all that you've freely given us, there's even a greater dimension in all of it, Father. It does not make us lazy on the sea. It just makes us alert to watch for you. To watch for you. Watch for you. Say, watch. Watch for you upon the sea. We invite you into this ship. We invite you, Lord, knowing you are Alpha, but you are Omega. You are him that is to come. That you redeem the time now. Time that was lost matters not to heaven. You redeem even time itself. You redeem our life from destruction. You redeem us from time itself. I'm asking you from this day forward to pass us through freely where we bestowed no labor. You pass us through freely where we bestowed no effort. You pass us through freely without storm, without price, without resistance. That you move us into position of promise, position for outpouring, position, Father, by grace alone. We receive the grace today of redemption of time. The grace for the redeeming of time now. Time that was lost. Time in the battle. Time of learning. Time of training. We are not subject to time. We are joint heirs above time itself. Father, grant us the grace to move through it. Move us into destination freely. 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 Say freely. Yeah, but I know what you did. It doesn't matter. Freely. Your past, grace is not looking at your past to determine whether you're going to get to your future. Grace takes you as you are. Father, take us as we are. Just as we are. Take me as I am today. Take me. Take us. Everyone say, take me as I am. Into the suddenlies of God. Into the redemption of time itself. Into the promised land. Into the omega jurisdiction. Into the end, into the promise, into fulfillment, into 7 days of light, into 7 days of dominion, into a freedom and a glory. Father, I thank you, you will not pass us by, because today we recognize grace. And grace will position us to be with you where you are. And where you are in that promised land, it's no longer future. It matters not if it's future, because time has no bearing anymore. You can move us to future now. We can dwell in future now. You do a new thing, and before it manifests on the earth, you show it now. You reveal it now. You bring us now. You bring our now into our future. Our future and our now are all the same. Open the eyes of our understanding of the realm of the kingdom. Open the eyes of the understanding of how this kingdom works. Many of you will advance in ways you've never thought possible. You'll make advancements. You'll advance freely. You'll advance freely. I speak freely that you will advance. I speak freely of this house that it will advance to the next level. Freely. It will advance to the next operation. Freely. That we freely move. Freely, by him that is to come. To lift us up, set us down into a promise, into a glory, into a freedom, into a liberty, into a breakthrough, into a fullness, into manifestation of the kingdom of God. This is how, says the Spirit of the Lord, you will see them born again. Within a very short time, they'll be moved to full age maturity. Time will be not the essence of this hour. Grace will be the essence of this hour. The understanding of the Father will be the essence of this hour. Time will not be a limitation any longer, says the Spirit of Grace. Do not feel you're fighting against the clock, saith the Lord. I'm redeeming you from it. You're redeemed from the clock. You're redeemed, saith the Lord. I am redeemed. I am redeemed from time and the limitations of it. Today, I break the limitations of time. I break the limitations. The time is imposed upon my spirit. I break its limitation today. Severing the cords that I may freely move. And be with you where you are. Freely be with you in that which is to come. To freely move without limitation of gravity or time. To be caught up beyond our years, beyond our days. Moved freely. They will say, how did you get to this place? When we spent all of this time and all of these years, how did you come to a place such as this? And a word will be upon your lips, saith the Lord, with the understanding behind it. Grace. Grace brought me here. The understanding of Him that is to come. The Omega brought me into the Omega. We can dwell with you as the Omega, beyond our time, beyond our years, dwelling in the powers of the age to come, dwelling in them, operating in them. Father, today we receive it. We receive the grace to redeem the time. In the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him praise. Come on. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it freely. 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 Eye has not seen nor ear heard the things that God will freely. Freely. It's your good pleasure to give us a kingdom that's way above this world. Far above the systems that govern it. Far above. Say far above. As we dwell with you, the Omega, we walk in the high places. We walk, say we walk. Father, thank you. You're removing all limitation. Just one revelation can remove limitation. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying you need revelation to remove limitation. Limitation can only be removed by revelation. As you get revelation, light, the eyes of your understanding being flooded with light, you see the redemption of time. For the days of this generation will become increasingly evil beyond anything you have witnessed. But light also will be beyond anything you've ever witnessed. Catch us up, Father. Move us through freely, Father. Time and space, move us into our dwelling place.